Tess Vob Kislev, Friday the 27th of November, Rabbi Nissim Tagger. What were Yaakov Avinu's criteria in setting the sequence of his family?
Tov, everyone. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it very much. We're going to discuss what Lechora looks like a very difficult Rashi on the Chumash, and try to see if we can analyze it. I'll speak up. And I encourage everyone to participate. If they have any comments, questions, solutions, feel free to interject at any time. Okay? In Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, we have the confrontation between Esav and Yaakov and his family. Vayisa Yaakov Einav, Yaakov saw Vayar, Vihine Esav Ba, Esav's coming, Vimo Arba Emeos Ish, and there are 400 men, soldiers with Esav. Vayichatz Es HaYeladim Alea Vayachatz. Es hayeladim aleya v'alrocha v'ashtei shpachos. He divided up the kids, the families, and now pasuk beis. Vayasem es hashpachos v'etz yaldehem rishona. He put the shpachos, the maid servants, Bilah and Zilpah, and their kids in the front. V'es leya v'yeladeh acharonim. Then he put Leah and her children second. V'es rochel v'es Yosef acharonim. Then he put Yosef and Rachel in the back. Rashi says three words which are shocking. He says, "Ve'es Leah ve'yeladeh acharonim, acharon acharon chaviv." The most favorite he put last. This is obviously shocking. They're now going towards Esav. He's afraid of death. He's afraid that Esav is going to attack. And here he orders his children in order of which ones he loves most, which one's going to be on the front lines to die first, if that's going to happen. Mamish of Peleploim. Peleploim, how Yaakov Avinu can do such a thing, we're going to bring a number of sources to show that you're not allowed to do it. The first one is the Gemara Shabbos, Daf Yud, Amud Beis, that says, An Yosef, and this is brought lahalacha. The Gemara says, Amar Rav bar Machasya Amar Rav, in the name of Rav. Rav Chama bar Gurya Amar Rav. Le'olam, always, in all situations, Al Yeshane Adam Bno Bein Habanim. A man should not make a difference, distinguish between one of his sons amongst all of his children. Shebishvil Mishkol Shnei Slaim, because of two slaim, the weight of two coins. Milas shenitan Yaakov liYosef, that ktonis pasim that was the value of two slaim, the coat. Yoter mishar banav, since he gave him one coat that was worth two slaim more to one child over the other ones. Nitkanu bo achiv, his brothers were jealous. V'nisgalgel hadavar, v'yardu avoseinu l'mitzrayim, and as a result of this, things rolled. And they went right into Mitzrayim. So you see here that Rav is giving a negative, and this is brought lahalacha in Choshen Mishpat, by the way, that you're not allowed in terms of dividing up your estate in Yerusha. You are not allowed to give one child more money than the other child, even if the one child is more Yerach Shamayim than the other. You're not allowed to do such a thing because of Rav. So here we see that Rav is attacking Yosef Yaakov Avinu's behavior in giving preference to Yosef. So you see, maybe this is another example of Yaakov Avinu doing it again, giving preference to Yosef and Rachel over the other children. However, I'm not so sure if that's true. Why? Because if this example of the lining up of the family in order to go to Esav is really something that was that Rav was upset about, that that's an example of giving preference to one child over another, then how come Rav didn't bring this example as opposed to the example of giving the coat? Let's think for a second. What's more jealousy generating? What makes more jealousy? If you imagine for a second, your father gives your older brother or your younger brother a coat, or your father says, you go to the front to die. I want these people that I love more to be in the back. Which one is going to be more kinah generating? Pasha to me that setting up your kids to die in order of how you love them is going to be much more traumatic. That's not jealousy. That's... you need a psychiatrist. It's over. Finished. Therapy forever in order to get over that one. What your father did to you. How could he do such a thing? So how come Rav didn't bring this? That's kasha number one. Kasha number two is that we have the Mishnah in Trumos. The Mishnah in Trumos, Perek Ches, Mishnah Yud Beis, says, forgetting about brothers and siblings, I'll read you the Mishnah. It says, "V'chein nashim, women, she'amru lahem nachrim, the goyim say to the women, tenu lanu echas, give us one girl amongst you, v'nitama, and we're going to rape her. Give us one of the girls, v'im lav, if you don't give us one, all of you are going to be raped." This is the goyim talking to the Jewish girls. "Yitamu es kulam va'al yimasru lahem nefesh echas miYisrael. Everyone gets raped." This is Gilui Arayos now, and we do not have one person handing over a Jewish person in Israel. We don't do such a thing. So lechora. Here, this is not about jealousy. This is an Easter to do such a thing, to hand over a Jew and put him in danger for another Jew. So now we have Yaakov Avinu, not for Gilui Arayos, putting his children in order to die, sakanas nefashos, based on preference. You can't do such a thing. Do you hear my difficulties? So this one, because he's making jealousy, and Rav didn't bring it. And number two, he's violating what looks like a Mefarshim Mishnah in Trumos. The Mefarshim are all grappling with this question of how Yaakov Avinu did such a thing. Just go in a group, go in a mob. No order, just go. The strong ones, how about that? The ones who are the good fighters you put front. That makes sense, the Marines. Well, do they have that in this country? Something like the Marines. Whatever, you put the strong ones first. Do something. Don't order them based on who you love more. How could he do such a thing? Very strong kashas.
Yes.
Fine. The Ksav Sofer tries to handle the situation in a very beautiful way. He says as follows. He says, Yaakov Avinu was worried that since he married two sisters, and that's an Easter according to the Torah law, even though he wasn't in Eretz Yisrael, there are different Mefarshim explaining, but he was worried. He married two sisters, and that's against the Torah. As a result of that, that Easter that he did, now when he's in danger, a Shas Sakana with Esav, he's afraid there's going to be a Kitrug. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to exact punishment on what he did. So he said to himself, who is in the most danger? Rachel. Why? Because the Avera of marrying the second sister was Rachel. She was the one who was married second. So she has the most sakana. Leah is also in danger because she was also one of the two. Even though she was the first one, that's mutter. The second one's the problem, but she is an accomplice. So he put her second. And the Bnei Shvachos, Bilhah and Zilpah, they weren't related. They weren't sisters, according to the Ksav. So it's a machlokas midrashim. Okay, I see people already shaking their head, right? And since they were not sisters, they were in the least sakana, and therefore Yaakov Avinu put them in the front. With this, the Ksav Sofer says, now you see there's no jealousy. There was no jealousy here because everybody knew it's about danger. It's like the Marines. You put the, not the, it's the opposite. Who's in the most danger to be killed? Now. She did nothing wrong, but says the Ksav Sofer, she was one of the two sisters. So if someone's going to be punished now, she's blameless, but this is Yaakov's Avera. Yaakov did something wrong by marrying the two of them. So the Rachel, the worst. Leah was also a Kitru could hit when you do an Avera, even though the first person was innocent. This is a dochak. It's very good. You're saying very good. Okay, that's we're going to cut it. Very good. We're going to do it. You're right. She was beheter. In right now, when you look at the Avera, if you look globally at the Avera, I don't know how Kitrug works. I heard Rav Yaakov Hillel was here the other day. Okay, so you can ask him how Kitrug in Shamayim works in terms of how a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives Midas Adin. But right now, we're going to have to say for the Ksav Sofer that also Leah, even though she personally didn't do an Avera, she was involved in the Avera that Yaakov did when he married Rachel. A good kasha. And the Shvachos are not at all. It's a beautiful teretz. It solves why there was no jealousy, the Gemara and Shabbos, because this everybody understood what Yaakov was doing. And it also explains, as we said, that he was not handing over a Jew to be... very good. Excellent. Good for you. But I said, this is a very nice pshat, but for two reasons, and we can't use this pshat to solve Rashi. Why? Number one, Rashi says, Achron, Achron, Chaviv. The last one was the most beloved. Right? So that's not about Sakan and who's in more danger. And it doesn't fit the language of Rashi. It's a nice pshat in its own right, the Ksav Sofer, but it's not Rashi. And number two, the second kasha you asked. What's your name? Yechezko? Cheskia? It's very important. You know what? The Malach and Esav, don't tell me your name. Very good. What does it make a difference? It's a good point. Excellent. Good. The second kasha is on the Ksav Sofer's pshat is that Rashi it brings the Medrash. He holds Lemaisa that Bila and Zilpah were also sisters. They were all sisters together. That's so you have two kashas on the Ksav Sofer fitting into Rashi's language. It doesn't seem to fit. Pardon? They weren't okay, but he says they weren't sisters at all. If they're sisters, then there's an isser whether it's from the father or from the mother. You're not allowed to marry your sister from either side, right? So for those two reasons, we are going to push off the Ksav Sofer with, obviously, humility. We know he was a great man. But in terms of explaining Rashi, it can't be accepted at this point. Fine. Rav Moshe Feinstein in Drash Moshe also has a pshat. His pshat is, he accepts that it was based on love, but he says that Yaakov Avinu, first of all, his son asked this kasha, Reuven Feinstein, he says, my son asked me this kasha, how Yaakov did this, the kasha we asked. And he answers that Yaakov, since he had a haftacha from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he had a promise that everything was going to be okay, he had no fear that they were going to die. There was no, when he ordered them, he had no havamina that people were going to die on any level. As a result, what was he afraid of? Why? What was he afraid of? He was afraid that it says, Rav Moshe Feinstein, that they were going to be captured for a short period of time and then returned to him. I don't know what Esav is going to do when he kidnaps the women and the kids. But it seems as though the Mishnah in Trumos is a direct contradiction to what Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying. He doesn't bring this Mishnah that you're not allowed to hand over one girl. Maybe he'll say this is not handing over, it's just ordering, but it's a very close, fine line to handing over one girl to be kidnapped or raped. And what Moshe Feinstein is saying, since there's no sakanas nefashos, he was mekil to order them in terms of his preference. Okay, it's nice, it's an interesting idea. First of all, I have a kasha from him from the Mishnah in Trumos, that even in Gilei Arayos, you're not allowed to hand one over. You can mechalek and say, wait, maybe this is not an example of handing one over, but he still has the first kasha we asked, the first kasha from the Gemara Shabbos. That still should have generated jealousy amongst the brothers, right? You're ordering us on base who you love less, and you're just, no, it's only a Gili Arias. Maybe Esav's just going to rape us, so it's okay? That should make more kina than the coat, than the Ksonis Pasim. So we still have at least one kasha with one dochak teirutz for a Moshe Feinstein to fit into Rashi.
Why is it so
Well, what was he afraid of? There was a fear that led him to order them in order of preference. What was his fear? The simple pshat is the fear was that he's going to kill him, right? Rav Moshe Feinstein says, no, that wasn't the fear. The real fear that Yaakov had was maybe a little rape. That's what he says. And therefore, he was makil to put them in order of preference. This is what he matarits to his son, okay? So there was some fear. So I'm saying, maybe he was just talking to his son at the Shabbos table and they wrote it down. Maybe he didn't buy it. I don't know. There's a lot of pikpukim on the Sefer of Moshe Feinstein because it was put out posthumously and he never really got a chance to go over it. So there's always questions of, did he really say it? Was he really lemaisa? Was he learning? Or is it just conversations that are recorded by the grandchildren? But Rav Moshe Feinstein, even though I'm American and we love him very much, we're going to have to push him to the side also, okay? In terms of pshat and Rashi. Another pshat I saw was the Megid Yosef. Megid Yosef says that Rachel was the biggest liability in danger because she was so beautiful. She was the one who was the most in danger of getting her. Not because of averas or anything else, just because of pure beauty, physical beauty. And as a result of that, she had to be hidden. And everybody knew that. All the kids knew that. Rachel was the most beautiful. No one had a kasha on that. And they understood that when Yaakov put Rachel in the back, it was just practicality, so no jealousy. Because she's the pretty one, that's the one that Esav's going to want, so he has to hide her. Now Leah, he says, putting Leah second is not about practicality, beauty. He said that one he loved more. He loved her more. He loved those kids more than the Shvachos. And therefore, he put them in order that way. He also is not dealing with how come this didn't generate jealousy. It should have generated jealousy. Maybe not on Rachel, but for sure on Leah. Because that was order of preference, not an order of beauty. I wanted to say a different pshat. Does anybody have any suggestions here? How to solve Rashi?
He put Rachel in the back.
Yeah.
So that's why he put Leah after, not the Shvachos.
Why?
Because Exactly.
That's bad. Exactly. That's the Megid Yosef. He says. Why? So what's the order based on? According to what you're saying, what's the order based on? Rachel, because she's beautiful. Kavod. Okay. That's a chavivus.
Chavivus is a problem.
That's a problem. It's a little better. Okay. I hear what you're saying. Yeah. And what about the children? What about the children of the Beis Shachos? They go with the mother. So because a new halacha, Rabbi Verbov. You want to tell me a new halacha when it comes to Hilchus, putting people in sakana pikuach nefesh. Who do you put in the most sakana pikuach nefesh? You put the ones that have the worst yichus. It's not the halacha. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to take a kid who's a ben shifcha and say, or his mother, and say, listen, you go to the front and die because you're not as important as my mother.
No, but the kids are put with the mothers.
The mother? What's wrong?
Feel safer with the mother.
You want to tell me? You go to the front with your mother. Feel safe with her. I'll stay in the back over here with the other ones. You be with your mother. You're safer. Okay, I hear. Huh? Not necessarily. We could have made it a pack, not a line of people. Everybody goes in one unit, biyachad, holding hands, something. You go show some achdus, huddle up, something. Huh? I would have been very uncomfortable if my father said to me, listen, you go with your ima to the front. Anyway, she's not so great. She's just a shifcha. Go with her and the other brothers and we'll be back here with the good kids. I don't know what I would do. I think I would faint right there. But more fear than the comfort with my wife, my mother would not work. Sorry. I hear you. Please. Mr. Bloom. Yes. Huh?
If you're afraid of robbers coming to your house, you would leave something on the table for them to take and hope that they would go away and wouldn't go and search further.
Okay.
Really, he's giving Leia as a kind of a...
She's number three. The first ones are the Bnei Shema, Bila and Zilpah and their kids, and then... So one second, so that I hear that sounds exactly like what Yaakov Avin is doing. It does, but that's horrific. That's heinous. How do you do that to your children? How do you do that to anyone? You can't do it to any Jew.
He has no choice.
But so that's the Mishnah Trumos. The Mishnah Trumos says that if you have to lose them all, lose them all. But don't turn one over. If one girl has to be raped, you don't let anybody get raped. No, Timu. Timu, to metame them. Okay.
Practicality is half the win.
I hear you. However, the Mishnah in Trumos is explicit. The Mishnah in Trumos is explicit that practicality is not allowed to be done. You're not allowed for practicality purposes to save all the Jewish girls, hand over one. Everyone goes down together. That's a mefurish Mishnah in Gilui Arayos. Right? Very good. Excellent. Fine. Let me try. How much time do I have left? 10 minutes? Okay, so I'm going to try now to solve things in a slightly different approach. I'm going to try. Okay? First of all, there's one more kasha we have to ask before we solve this. And that's the next pasuk. The next pasuk right afterwards, which none of these mefarshim are dealing with, but I think could be relevant. Pasuk Gimel, right after he orders them, he says, V'hu avar lifnehem. Yaakov walked in front of them. Vayishtahu arza sheva pa'amim. And he bowed down 7 times. Ad gishto ad achim. Until he actually got to his brother, he bowed down 7 times. The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says, V'iu avar lekamehon. He went in front of them. What does that mean? Matzli ubay rachamin. He davened. When he walked in front of them, it's not a physical walking. It's a davening for them. Min kadam Hashem. In front of Hashem, he was davening. V'gachan al ara shiva zimnin. And he bowed down on the ground 7 times. That's Yonasan ben Uziel. What Yaakov did after ordering them was daven to Hashem. Rashi HaKadosh says different. Rashi says, Avar Lifneim is not davening. He says, Amar, Im Yavo Oso Rasha, if that Rasha Esav comes, Lilachem, he wants to fight, Yilachem Bitchila. He's going to have to fight with me first, says Yaakov Avinu. This is not a davening, he was ready for war. He walked to the front of the line. Here, the second that Yaakov walks to the front of the line, all of the Mefarshim attack Rashi. And they say to him, wait a minute. If you told me that he ordered people based on chavivus, based on love and preference, the Nachlas Yaakov, the Tzeda Lederech, and other Mefarshe Rashi all say, people love themselves the most. If it's about preference, how could he should have stayed in the back. No, how could he go to the front?
The captain, the general, always goes to the front.
Okay. Now we're getting somewhere. Very good. Excellent. So we see here from their kasha, they ask a kasha on Rashi, a steer between the two Rashis. The first Rashi says it's about preference. The second Rashi says he goes to the front of the line. No one loves it. People love themselves the most, says these Mefarshim. Now we're seeing that when Yaakov Avinu walked to the front of the line in Pasuk Gimel, he is being the captain, the general. It's not about love. Of course a person loves himself. He loves his body the most of anyone else in the world. Even though we have a mitzvah of Haftal Recha Kamocha, we know that your own personal survival is the most beloved to anyone, instinctively. Maybe Yaakov was on the level, but we could say he was the captain. He was the leader. With that Hakdama, I want to try now to go to the beginning of Bereishis, in the creation of Adam. Bear with me. I'm going to try to stay in Pshat. I'm not going into Drush or anything like that. I'm trying. The Pasuk says when in creation of Adam Arishon, Nase Adam Bitzalmeinu Kidmuseinu. Let us make man in our image, right? And in our form. Rashi says, the famous Medrash, Nase Adam, let us make man. Everybody's upset about how could there's two gods. Anvanasuno shall HaKadosh Baruch Hu lamadnu mikan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's humility is being learned from this pasuk. Humility. Lefisha Adam hu bidmus ha-malachim. Adam was made in the image of the malachim. Ve'yitkanu bo. They're going to have jealous of Adam. The malachim are going to have jealousy towards man. Lefichach nimlach behem. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked permission. He asked counsel of the malachim before he made men. Actually, the full Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu refused to write this pasuk in the Torah. The Medrash that Rashi is quoting, Rashi leaves out the first half. Moshe Rabbeinu begged Hashem, don't make me write this pasuk, because it's going to give a pishon peh for all of the apikorsim and the minim who want to say the Torah is not serious. Let us make man. There are two gods. Basically, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem said, I don't care. Let the Rishayim who want to look at this pasuk and see that I'm not serious, there's two gods, let them go right to Gehenna with this pasuk. But I have a chiddush to teach, says Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu. My chiddush is that the Gadol, the Adam Gadol, should go and counsel with those people that are beneath him, that are underneath him, in order to show the humility of Hashem. Humility of Hashem. Fine. So from this Rashi, and this is something that has always stayed with me, we see that humility is able to neutralize jealousy. Humility is the antidote of jealousy. Now, this is something that I did many times since I learned this Rashi with my Rebbe. You have kids, right? I have kids. And some of the kids are difficult. Some of them are easy. Some of them are naturally good in school. And some of them are very difficult in school. And sometimes when you have a child who's not doing well in school, I'm going to give an example, who's not doing well in school, all of a sudden he works hard and gets an 85. For him, that's huge. He worked hard, he got an 85. So I want to give him a present, right? I want to give him some chizuk for what he did. But I'm worried, what about the one who's always getting 95s? I don't give her presents all the time. I'm saying her because that's my... Okay, yeah. Nobody can... I hope my kids don't see this. Okay? Although they're 8, no one will know. the one who gets a 95 every week, what am I going to do with her? She's going to be jealous of her brother, her little brother, who's not doing so good. So what my wife and I did, based on this Rashi, we went and talked to my daughter and said to her, what do you think? Shlomo is doing very well. He's trying hard. He got an 85 on the test. What do you think we should do for him? You always get 95s. You're amazing. What do we think should do Shlomo? And she, God bless her, said, we got to give him a prize. We have to mechazek him. So we see here, if I would have done it without asking her first, without being nimlach with her, like Hashem did, she'd be, what is going on over here? Even if she wouldn't say it, inside there would be a little bit of something. But we see from this Rashi that when you mishatef, when you join in the person in the bigger picture, the global picture of what's going on, right? All of a sudden, the person is connected to the situation and feels no jealousy. No jealousy. You hear what I'm saying? So maybe that's how we can try to solve this sugya with Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, as we heard, was the captain. He went to the front. If Yaakov would have stayed in the back with Rachel and Yosef, in the back while the Bnei Shvachos are in the front, that would have been devastating. That would have really been horrific. But he went to the front of the line, showing them. Now, why did he go to the front of the line? Why? We learned in last week's Parsha that the second that Yosef was born, Yaakov went to Lavan and said, I'm ready to go face Esav. I'm ready. Yeah, the Rashi brings the Medrash that Yosef had some Bechina inside of him that could fight the forces of evil, of Esav. He had it. He is like a fire that burns up the straw, which is Esav. He had it. Yosef was the spiritual leader. The Zohar, by the way, argues with the Gemara in Shabbos. Lichora, I'm going to say no. The Zohar says that Yaakov did nothing wrong when he gave the coat to Yosef, against the Gemara in Shabbos. Why? Because he was the spiritual leader of Klal Yisrael. Without Yosef, there would have been no Klal Yisrael. We needed him to be alive. He was the one, the spiritual leader, says the Zohar. And also in the Rashi last week, Yosef was the one who had that strength all through the Galus. Now, it's the Yosef part of Klal Yisrael that protects us from Esav. With that, now we understand the captain was not just a captain. He was telling everybody, Yosef is the one. He is the one that needs to be, he's the future leader. It's him. It hurts. It hurts to hear that from your father. It does. But when he goes to the front of the line and puts himself with them, joins together with them in the front, now they see this is not personal love. This is the chavivus based on, I don't want to say kavod, on mission. On the mission of what Yosef represents. That's why he has to be protected. If this is the pshat, now we understand why the Gemara and Shabbos Rav did not attack Yaakov for making jealousy here. There was no jealousy, or there was mitigated jealousy. Huh? Achron Chaviv is Chaviv because he's the Mashiach. He is the... Leah, what about Leah? I'm going to say, very good. Let's say it again. What's your kasha? Say it clear so I have a few seconds to think. say it clearly. Let me hear. Yeah. Okay, so I answered that. I have an answer for that. That I can handle. His kasha I can't. Yours I can. Because Leah's boys were also Ben David, the Malchus. We had the other Ben David, the Yehuda. Those kids are in the middle. They're also critical. Malchus Beis David is coming from them. They're also more chashuv, more chaviv to Klal Yisrael than the other ones. Okay? Okay, I hear. I want to just focus on the last one, Yosef. That's the one that he says is chaviv, was the chavivus right now. Okay? No. What are the words of Rashi? Right. It could be, yeah. How's that? Oh, so now. But not this jealousy. Not from this situation. So now, I wanted to suggest, theoretically, I hear your kashas. You're asking a good kasha now. I think we can handle that. I'm out of time. I'm going to finish 1 second. Theoretically, if Yaakov would have given the coat to Yosef and taken it off his back, his own coat, and said, this he has to have because he is, or would have asked the other brothers, what do you think about the fact that we know that Yosef is going to be the leader, he has his bechina, the Zohar says, blah, blah, blah. If he would have talked to them and then taken the coat off his back and be the captain and gone to the front of the line, perhaps that would have been enough to neutralize the tremendous kinna of bringing them all together. So what we see here is that Yaakov, according to this pshat that I'm saying, everyone's dachuk, you can't yell at me. Everybody's dachuk over here. But there could be some svara here that we could take from all of this. This idea that when you go to the front of the line, when you join in with the people that should be jealous of what you're doing, and try to be a part of the picture, bring in the lower people, bring in the people beneath you, into the framework of what's going on, all of a sudden that is removing kinna in the world. And for us, that is a tremendous thing that creates so much strife amongst families, friends, everyone. That's kinna is one of the killers. If this, a little anava, which means lowering yourself and bringing in your kids or your talmidim, it could change the world. Thank you very much.